Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bro, track and field chicks are hot, dude.
Watch it. She'll pierce your heart.
On my letter. What a rip. What a rip from Maria Andrzejczyk of Austria.
She knows. That's 65 meters, which is how many?
How many freedom units?
How many feet is
that?
How
many bald eagle screams is 65 meters?
I don't know.
How many monster trucks is 65 meters? That's what we need to know. Hey, Google, how many feet is 65 meters? Hold on, I'm getting it for you.
65 meters is equal to 213 feet, 3.055 inches.
216 feet, 3.055 inches.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of feet. And a couple of inches. What a rip. I think I couldn't compete with any of these people. Obviously, they're at the Olympics. But I think if we were playing our get 100 dudes off the street, could you guarantee a 10th place finish? I think I could compete in a javelin throw.
All right, here's your problem would be you would fault.
No, I don't think I would.
Because, you see a lot of these guys and girls faulting on some of these field events. Yeah,
I think if you gave me the not tennis shoe spikes that they're all wearing, and you gave me like one or two to like get my feet under me, I feel like I could throw a decent javelin. Like, again, nowhere near, even the women in the Olympics would beat my ass. And I have no shame admitting that.
Why did you say even the women?
I'm saying I would not even compete in like a generic mid-level track and field competition. I'm not competing in anything, but I'm saying 100 random dudes off the street. I feel like I could top 10 a javelin throw. I used to be able to launch a football. I feel like I could like top 10, 100 average dudes, top 10 a javelin throw. Also, this cat's from Ireland and his last name is English. I bet he got some crap for that growing up.
Yeah, he probably did. I will say out of the field events, the javelin and the hammer throw are two that I would like to try. They try to get me to do shot put, and I'm like, nah, I'm too weak for that. I can't do that.
Too weak for that.
I was just too weak. I mean.
I feel like javelin. I'll go straight up.
We didn't have javelin, by the way. It would have been a bad idea in our school. So.
Why? Because you'd all been trying to hit each other with it?
Yeah, that probably would have happened.
In Lonzo's high school, it wasn't the javelin. It was the spear.
So pretty much.
And used that way.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be okay with the javelin. I'll tell you what I don't think I could do. I don't think I could do anything that involves me spinning around. Like hammer throw, discus, shot put, I'm out. Because I suffer from vertigo and I would pass out. Before I even, it'd be like, he threw it 0.0003 meters because he fell down. He's passed out now. I shouldn't, our next competitor, Rob Brown, is asleep in the circle.
I shouldn't be smiling, but I think that's 100%
accurate. That's absolutely accurate.
And I could see it happening.
You've seen me get dizzy spinning this chair around to stand up too fast. There have been times I've spun out of this chair and had to like put my hands on the armrest to give myself a minute to get the oxygen right. No, I couldn't hammer Thor Javelin.
Then you get mad at yourself.
Yes!
I get it. It's like, stupid body, why are you trying to make me fall?
Cooperate, for God's sake! I just want to stand up without feeling like I just ran a freaking marathon, dude. This year has been, it's been a big year for me. There's a lot going on. And one of the things that's happened this year that I have to acknowledge, as painful as it might be, this year has been a revelation unto me about the fact that as I cruise towards 40, I am now officially closer to 40 than 39. As I cruise towards 40, the limitations on my body are increasing at an exponential rate. That's not to say like, you know, I'm in a spot where I can't stand up off the couch anymore. I'm fine. If I need to go outside and jog around this building two or three times, I can do that, no problem. Like, there's a lot that I can't do, a lot that I can do, but there's a lot I can't do like I used to do anymore, right? Like, at Panther Camp the other day, we had to walk, Diesel and I got to walk across the field at Memorial Stadium, which I never got to do before. I've been to the stadium many times. First time I got to go on the field. And
you didn't get any orange on you, did you? That stuff's hard to get off.
As we walked across the field, and I'm like, and I've told you this before, every time I step on a football field, doesn't matter. NFL, college, high school, literally doesn't matter. When I step on a football field, you have those moments where you're like, I could still run a 40-yard out, right? Like, I could still run a fly. I could still run a 9 route. I could still run a 10 and in, drop the hip, sink the lower center of gravity, stick the outside foot in the ground, cut to the inside, and present a target to the quarterback. I still got that in me.
Is that how you think of it before you – I mean, you think all that before –
it's what it is. How do you not? That's what you do.
Okay. All right. That's a very detailed thought.
Because if you're going to run the route right. Every wide receiver ever.
There's a reason why you do it repeatedly, so you don't have to think all that.
Correct.
Before you do it.
But you still know what you're doing, even if you don't have to think. Sink the hips, plant the foot, explode to the inside, explode to the outside, whatever. Even though you make it muscle memory, you still know what you're doing. So, I'm on the field. We're walking across. The Carolina cheerleaders are out there doing their thing. A couple of the players are out there kind of stretching and warming up a little bit. A couple of the coaches are out there, you know, checking the field to make sure it's all good, whatever. And as we're walking past all of these actual athletes, in my head, I'm like, all right, we're on the 10. We're going in. You know, if I spin around right now, I bet I could run a 7 in diagonal in. I bet I could run a little post route that would present Bryce Young with an appropriate target to knock down a tutty. I bet I could still do it. And so in my head, I'm like running through all of these possibilities, all the things I definitely could still do. And then the gentleman that works for Clemson that was kind enough to escort us to the press box, he goes, all right, fellas, we do have to walk up flight of stairs. I'm like, all right, yeah, stairs, right? And then the stairs we have to walk up are the stadium stairs, half the height of the stadium.
So you've never done that at Clemson? Oh, okay.
Bro!
All right, yeah.
They are friggin' straight up, dude.
Yeah, right? I know. Those are the steps that I went straight up that they threatened to throw my daughter over the side. So, yeah,
They're straight the hell up.
If you're not good with heights, those steps are rough. They definitely are not good.
So dude says, there's the press box. We got to go up to the upper concourse and then we'll cut back around to get into the press box. And I'm like, all right. I'm carrying my backpack, which has,
you know, a real stadium would have an elevator. They might.
I'm sure it did, but he took us the scenic route, right? So I'm not even really carrying anything. I'm carrying my backpack, which has one laptop, one tablet, and two magazines in it. And that's it. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. We're good. And I take the first 10, 15, 20 steps. We're like 20, 25 steps up. And then I look and I'm like, oh God, it's still 30 miles away. We get to the top of the stairs, and I'm going to tell you, the ego dropped off real fast. It went from, I bet I could still run a full sprint, 10-yard post route, and present Bryce Young with a good, solid target, to, oh, stairs, no! The ego dropped off damn quick when I got to that point. So that's been the year for me.
All right, I got to ask this question because he is older than you. How did Diesel handle it? Because he's a man now.
Do you think I was capable of getting to the top of that staircase and having any sort of conversation?
No, if I look over and Diesel is also going up the stairs, that's going to be motivation to not have to go, wait, I got to stop a minute. I mean, I would have an excuse because I'm a lot older than you guys, but I would try not to do that.
If you think there was anything I had going in my brain other than don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. I didn't want to go out on some stairs in a stadium, bro. I wasn't trying to go out. I wasn't trying to just like fade, fall backwards and eat it.
We're here to celebrate the life of one Rob Brown who died by stairs.
I'm not trying to be that, all right?
I would think that, for me, the way down would be just as bad because of how steep the steps are.
I mean, again, and I think that was it. The clear and present danger of what happened had I gotten that vertigo, which is a real thing for me, unfortunately, and went over backwards, I'd have rolled like a cartoon character down to the bottom. And that at that point, it's not if I went out, it's I hope I go out.
Just think, Rob, drunk people handle that every Saturday. I've been up there amongst them, and they drunk, and they handle that every Saturday. But I'm sure that removes some fear. But I'm just saying they're able to do that without stumbling down those steps.
Listen, as a person who has the occasional night of imbibery and debauchery, I'm not ashamed. Stairs aren't the problem. The problem is when it's 7 miles to the top of them and you're fat and old. So like this year,
with all that weight you've lost, you should have been able to take two steps at a time.
Yeah, no, for sure, Zoe. For sure. That's how it works. I got halfway up and I had that moment of revelation. And it's this year has been that for me. From 39 to 40 has been a revelation of, my guy, you're not what you used to be, all right? You're just not that guy anymore. You got to accept that. And I do. And there's a part of me. I've been going the last 3 weeks now. Been going to the gym 3 times a week. Half weightlifting, half aerobic, right? Trying to get a little bit of tone and definition. I'm dropping the LBs. Right? Trying to get toned up, defined up a little bit. And I can't work out like I used to. I used to go in and sling heavy circles around for a very long time. Now I'm like 10 reps or 3 reps of 10 and I'm out of here. Or else I'm going to fall apart. I used to jump on the bike and I would do a spin class, a spin cycle, whatever they call it. And I'd do like 20, 25 miles. I did 10 on Wednesday last week, I did 10. And I was like, well, that's enough of that bleep. I'm done. I'm out. So this year has been a revelation of things that I can't do like I used to be able to do. And I've accepted them, right? Like, I think it's important for all of us to sometimes accept that the things you used to could ain't the things you can anymore. And that's fine. I'm good with that.
All right, so there are joys that an older person has in life, and one is, and I'm speaking for myself, is watching other people get old and going through the things that you went through. I mean, I empathize, but at the same time, it's like, there we go. I'm watching someone else. Yeah, I am not unusual with how all that stuff hit me. It's hitting someone else, and now I feel better about myself.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, bud. I really am. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Hey, but
I'm not.
You made it this far. I mean, you can look at it that way. It's that, yeah, you're about to turn 40, but you made it to 40.
Look,
I mean, you know.
I
there might have been times in your life where you thought, I ain't making it to 40.
I appreciate.
There's times in everyone's life when they think that.
I appreciate You attempting to bring the power of positivity. Let me be real clear. I'm okay with it. I've accepted it. I've gotten there. I am fine with the acceptance, the realization, the revelation that I'm not the elite athlete that I used to be. I'm good with it. I haven't just accepted it. I've embraced it. We were at the bachelor party this past weekend. And on Saturday night, we all went out. We did a little bar crawl, a little pub crawl. We Ubered back to the house. And as happens, when you get a handful of dudes together and give them a couple of bottles of whiskey to knock down, inevitably, the physical challenges betwixt the group start to pop up, right? Like, it goes from, I bet I could beat you in basketball, to put on your shoes, you, let's go outside right now, right? Like, inevitably that happens, and that's all well and good. And there was a wide demographic of dudes, all right? I had a 47, my lead guitarist is 46, almost 47 years old. One of my buddies from here in the GVL is 26. We had a 20-year range from the youngest to the oldest in this group. And we started talking about the Olympic stuff, right? Like, this is a fun conversation that's going to last for another, how much longer the Olympics? 6 days, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think it's over Sunday.
So it's been a fun conversation. We're all enjoying it. And we were, I'll tell you what triggered it was we watched Jimmer Fredette and the men's 3-on-3 basketball team get their asses kicked on set. Embarrassing. Like, missing bunny hop layups, right? And me and two of the other dudes that played high school ball and, like, low-level college ball or whatever, were like, dude, you could have sent us. We could have missed layups, right? One guy had unguarded walk to the basket, and he missed the layup. And I'm like, this is not even like a, look at the size of my manhood. I could do. No. It's just a layup. If you gave me a basketball and a 10-foot goal right now, I could make 10 out of 10 uncontested layups. No problem. So this guy misses it. And of course, it sets us down the path of, like, what Olympic things could you do? And it was this whole conversation of different sports or whatever. So we get into the night. We're 3 or 4 bottles of whiskey deep between the 7 of us. And the conversation turns into, I could take you in basketball. I could do this. So at one point, 2 of the dudes go upstairs to grab their tennis shoes because they want to go outside and they want to run a 40. Because the question was, could you today, in your late 30s, early 40s, whatever, could you today break a 6-second or a 7-second 40? Could you break a 6 or 7 second 40?
That's assuming that you were able to do it when you were younger, though. I mean, there are some people that are slow.
I ran a 4.77 40 my fastest.
I ran a 4.9, so, and I didn't know how to run. So.
The answer is no. None of you can do that, okay? But they had enough inspiration that they wanted to go outside and test it. And so 2 of the dudes start lacing up the tennies, lacing up the sneaks. They're going to go outside. They're going to measure off 40-ish yards. They're going to take the timers on their cell phone, and they're going to run a 40 down the street to see if they can do it. And as one of the bros is finishing tying his second shoe, he looks at me, and he's like, Rob Brown, where's your sneaks? You're running the 40, right? And I was like, yo, go yourself. No. And he goes, why? And I said, because if I go run a 40, the next Uber we order is going to be the hospital because I Vince McMahoned my quads in the middle of 14th Street in Atlanta. Absolutely not, my guy. And here's the thing. At 25, the jokes would have started and Rob's ego would have been like, you know what? Put on the shoes, you coward. If you get hurt, you get hurt. If you die, you die. Get out there and do it. And in this last year of revelation that the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, My ego wasn't hurt at all. I'm like, yo, I can't do that. What do you want? I can't. There's a reason I don't run anymore. It's because it hurts. I can't do it anymore, and I'm good with that. And it was, it didn't hurt my feelings at all.
Dude's name is Hobbs Kessler.
That's solid. That's a Big Ten name.
Yeah.
Not a Big Ten guy, but no, a Big Ten name.
What, I mean, what a name.
All right, we got a lot we got to get into today. Hey, guess what happens today in Clemson, South Carolina? The football team puts on pads for the first time. We got padded practices happening around the country. Let's talk some college football. Hayton asked Mario at 9 o'clock to preview the AFC and NFC South and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and the great one, Lonzo, with you today. Talking a lot of college football on the radio broadcast today, as we have padded practices underway across much of the country. Clemson has been in shells for the last 6 days. Today, according to Dabo Swinney, they will put on the full kit for the first time, go full contact practice, work some goal lines and short yardage scenarios today. And so we will start tomorrow with our big time practice reports, because I do think you got to see the boys in full motion before you can start to get any sort of gauge as to what and where they are. All of that being said, Florida State picked by the media to repeat as ACC champions this year. Florida State plus 275 to win the conference this year. That is the lowest odds available. They are plus 140 to make the college football playoffs, minus 180 to miss the college football playoffs. The Miami Hurricanes plus 425. The Clemson Tigers plus 375 to be your conference champions. Everyone else has 5.5 or longer. NC State plus 550. Louisville plus 750 to win the Atlantic Coast Conference. The top three teams in this league, FSU, Miami, and Clemson, according to the media. The top three teams in this league all have an over-under set at 9.5. Set at 9.5. So if we're looking down the schedule for those teams, and I asked you, which teams do you feel the most confident hit the over and the most confident hit the under, what would they be for you? Let's start with Clemson. That's who we're covering, obviously, here in the upstate of beautiful South Carolina. The 2024 schedule lines up this way. Open at Georgia. We know that. That one is a, and I'm going to air quote this so hard that I sprain a finger, neutral site game. That's not going to be a neutral site game, okay?
It's in Georgia, right?
It's in Atlanta, Georgia.
So do they like represent the whole state, Georgia? Because it's the Georgia Bulldogs, right?
They could play that game in Juneau, Alaska, and I guarantee you it's still a Georgia home game. The Georgia fans, and I've said this for a while, all due respect to the dogs out there, Georgia fans might be the most obnoxious fans in college basketball, or college sports as a whole. That's just what they are. They are also fervent. If there is a ticket that hits the secondary market, 80% chance it ends up in the hands of somebody wearing black and red. That's going to be a Georgia home game. I am going to say, just based on what I've seen on ticket sales in the secondary market, etc., I'm going to say, though, it's going to be about 3-1 Georgia fans in that building. If it's closer to 2-1, I will consider that legitimately an achievement for the Clemson Tigers, all right? The Georgia fans right now, there ain't a stadium neutral site that I don't think Georgia fans would outnumber. And it's not just you, it's anybody. I think Georgia fans would outnumber Alabama fans if they were playing this game. If it was Alabama-Georgia to open the year, I think they'd outnumber them. I think they'd outnumber Michigan fans right now, despite the Natty in hand.
Yeah, but the fans don't play the game, Rob. The team does.
I don't disagree. And yet I'm still picking Georgia in week one. Sorry, Clemson. Like, I think you're a better team this year. Do I think you're as good as Georgia? No, not yet. I think it's going to take some turnaround. And for the record, I don't know if there's anybody I'd pick against Georgia in this spot. Like, nationally. The short list of teams are that I would even say are competitive. Ohio State, I think, is, I'd go 60-40 Georgia. And outside of that, I don't know who else I'd pick. I don't think there's anybody else. That's not a shot. I know last week when we talked about it, I got a text from somebody that was like, there you are just hating on Clemson. Like, I'm not hating on Clemson. Like, maybe I could justify picking Ohio State. Outside of that, there's nobody I'd pick against Georgia right now.
So let me get this right. If you pick against Clemson in a game, you're hating against Clemson. So you can't put out, you know, analysis from, you know, looking at practices, looking at, you know, player comparisons, all that kind of stuff. If you pick against them, then you're a hater.
Anish Shroff was on the show last week. He is the voice of the Carolina Panthers. And Diesel asked him, what's the biggest difference between being the voice of the Panthers and being a guy for ESPN who traveled and called games in every state and every stadium? And he said, the difference is when I'm calling games for the Carolina Panthers, everybody knows I'm pro Carolina. When I was calling games nationally for everybody, I hated everybody, according to everybody. Yeah, welcome to the world. So I'm going to go, that's a loss there. Clemson's gonna beat Appalachian State unless they don't. Like, that's a...
Wow.
Wow. I know, big...
No. I mean, so you're leaving the possibility that Clemson could lose to App State.
I'm not the only one. Dabo Swinney did it too.
Yeah,
when we did Clemson's open house a couple of weeks ago, right? A couple of weeks ago, when we talked with Dabo Swinney, Dabo said, the question mark for me is, How do we respond to the Georgia game? Win, lose, tie, or draw, how do we respond to that game? Because if we go out there and we lose to Georgia, are we able to put that in the rear view mirror, right? Like when we talk to all the Barrett and Klubnik and all these guys at the ACC Media Days a couple of weeks ago, all of them use the words rear view mentality. When you're done with the thing, when you pass that thing by, it's got to go in the rear view. How do you respond to that? And if they go out there and let's say theoretically lose by 24 to Georgia, what's the rear view mentality? How do they work around that? And if the answer is poorly, and I don't have any reason to believe that they will, okay? I based on my coverage and conversations with Clemson players and media who cover them, this does not feel like nor appear to be a team that has any sort of negative mentality to itself. Does that mean that they don't? No, just means we haven't seen it yet. But Appalachian State, ever since the game where they went into Ann Arbor and beat Michigan, God, what was that, 2007? It's been like freaking 14 years or whatever that's happened. Ever since that, Appalachian State has become that team that lives for these games. They can go play the North Dakotas all they want. But these are the games that they live for. These are the games that they go, hey, if we can go out there and if we can pick off one of these games, just have that one upset, our entire franchise program is rejuvenated for a very long time. How long... I just did it. How long do we talk about Appalachian State going to Ann Arbor and beat Michigan? Forever. It is etched in the annals of sports history. If they do it to anybody else, that gets up there too. So it's a Clemson win unless Georgia whoops that ass and Clemson doesn't recover from it.
By the way, I cannot wait for Wire to Wire that week because you got a Clemson fan and an App State fan together. Wait. That happened last year and the year before that and the year before that too. But no. Don't do that.
Why did that one go off?
Because they...
Why are they on the same thing?
Why are you doing that? Because we can't fix it, obviously.
I never give up. I never surrender.
Okay, well, you know. Anyway, I can't wait to hear Wire to Wire, to hear Cole and Diesel going at it on this and to find out. I told you not to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Finish the thought. We got to. Yes. We're against the break, Alonzo.
Yeah, I know.
Stay on the clock. For God's sake, what are you doing?
It's going to be a fun show. So make sure you tune in to them. You know, you and I have no skin in the game that week, but they do. So, and that's going to definitely be entertaining. I want to hear how Diesel schools. So you fixed it. I mean, good for you.
I was told I can't do it.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so but if you did that, you know, like at 5:55,
I wasn't in here at 5:55.
You weren't. That's a problem.
That game's interesting.
I was trying to plug the other show, and you just kind of.
All I did was turn on the TV.
Apparently, you didn't want me to plug the other show.
I didn't say a word. I just turned on the TV.
Trying to be team here, and you just wow.
All I did was turn on the TV. I didn't say a word. You didn't have to respond to me. I was trying to get out of the way so you could plug the other show. I just turned on the TV.
Well, at your advanced age, I was distracted, you didn't fall out of the chair. First segment.
When we come back, let's finish up the thought. Are there three losses on the schedule? 9.5 is the over-under for Clemson, Miami, and Florida State. We're going to dig through those three schedules and see, are there three losses out there for those three teams? Because if a team gets to three losses, they're not winning this conference. Two of these are going to finish with two losses. I think there's two 10-2 schools. Which ones are they? We'll keep looking at that. Hayden asked Mario, 9 o'clock, to talk a little NFL preview. We got to get some basketball as Team USA rolls Brasilia yesterday to move on to the semifinals. All that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Oh, Spartanburg Jay. He said, guys, speaking of college football, just think if you made an online dynasty group on CFB25 and gave it air stream time, it would go over right now probably better than the Olympics. Yes, Spartanburg Jay, if only I could do that. Thank you for the salt in the wound that was completely unnecessary.
Wow, I'm having a bad week.
You're getting smoked this week.
Yeah, it's just fine. I'm dying not my best this week, but it would not go over better. I mean, you know, there are how many people on this station are actually playing that game?
I don't know. You're not. I don't know. I haven't heard Diesel or Cole. I'm not saying they're not. I don't know.
So
don't get me wrong.
We have our finger on the pulse of sports in not only the upstate of South Carolina.
Oh, no, the game is enormous.
But the entire state of South Carolina, because we are the three-time.
You know, the game, as I said it would, has more players right now than any other game this year, and it's not close.
I don't know about that. I don't.
Literally take 2 minutes to go look it up right now. It is blowing everything out of the water.
Why would it take me 2 minutes? I'm not that slow at Googling.
It is the biggest game this year. It is going to be the biggest game this year.
Although I would get multiple sources, not just one.
Go look at all of them. It is the biggest game. It is absolutely a huge deal. It remains a huge deal. Dynasty modes right now are everywhere.
Here's the thing. All right, Rob doesn't have a next gen, so he can't get it. I'm not interested because I don't like playing with people. I use video games to escape people. Other people want to play to play other people. And I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want to beat anybody. I like winning, but I'm not going to. I don't want to go in and I'm going to make Ohio State win the national championship. You know what? They're probably going to. So I want to see that in real life. I love video games. I probably play more than everyone on the station combined and probably some other ones thrown in there.
It's all well and good. It's the biggest game in America, and it's not close.
I don't know that it's a good biggest game in America.
It's not a question.
It probably was a couple weeks.
It's not a subjective opinion.
You can be vehement in your delivery. It does not mean that you are absolutely right. All right, send me five sources. I don't want you to listen because I'm thorough.
Five sources, reputable.
Not some dude on his couch. This is the biggest game in the world. Not that guy.
Okay, I'm not going to do that. But it is what it is. So let's get back to this. 9.5 wins is the over under win total for the three most projected conference champions in the Atlantic Coast Conference. We'll do this as well later with the SEC. 9.5 is the over-under win total for Florida State, for Miami, and for Clemson. We are going schedule by schedule today to see if there are any three games on any of these three schedules that we think are guaranteed L's or close to it. To me, Georgia is for Clemson. So are there two more? Are there two more? App State should be a win. Again, you better be real careful. This is a game, to use a video game term, that could get very sweaty for Clemson at the house. All right? It's going to depend on what happens with game one against Georgia. It's going to depend on the mental rebound from Clemson after game one. If you get smoked by Georgia, can you not let that bother you? Not hang on. But I'll say it's a win. Game three is against NC State. This is, to me, with Stanford ahead and App State behind, this is not going to fall into the category of a trap game for me. I've heard it labeled a trap game by a couple of other media folks. It's not a trap game to me, but it is a game you better be careful about. Grayson McCall comes over from Coastal Carolina. Grayson McCall's a good quarterback. I don't think you can say he's going to be a good first-tier quarterback yet. We don't know. Again, real good at Coastal. Does that mean that those talents translate up a level? I don't know. What I do know is that this team does have a very good group of wide receivers. This group has got a very explosive room of wide receivers. This is a team that last year went 9-4. This is a team this year has an over-under win total of 8.5. And by the way, the minus money is to the over, not the under. We'll break down some more ACC teams as we get closer. We're focusing on the top three right now. But offensively, this team is set. It's got talent. It's going to be good. They also added Duke transfer running back Jordan Waters. And what that gives to me, a good running back in Jordan Waters, what that gives to me is for the first time in maybe as long as I can remember, they've got a dude at every level. They've got a dude at quarterback, assuming Grayson McCall is able to translate up a level. They've got a fantastic wide receiver room. We've talked about that. They've got last year's ACC Rookie of the Year, Kevin Concepcion. They brought over Noah Rogers, who is an Ohio State wideout transfer. The only reason he's not at Ohio State is they got a lot of good wide receivers at Ohio State.
Wide receiver, yeah.
So they've got a dude at running back, they've got multiple dudes at wide receiver, and they got a dude at quarterback. I'm not ready to say that NC State deserves to be mentioned in the same breath as Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. I am ready to say that this team is the next tier. They are right there. Sorry, the next tier.
This is frustrating. I'm trying to figure out how Clemson has improved from last year to this year. Yeah, they've gotten older. But so just putting Phil Moffa back there is guaranteeing some more wins because I don't see them getting over 9. I don't.
You are bringing back Brown and Williams at the wide receiver group with a year of growth under their belt. We have talked quite a bit. By the way, Bryant Wesco Jr., it's all in shells so far. It's all in shells. But Bryant Wesco Jr. has apparently been turning some heads in shells. Like, has been really, like, to the point that there's some thoughts that a freshman could end up getting a starting nod 3, 4, 5 games into the season. Has been turning heads in shells so far. You bring back 4 out of 5 starters across the offensive line. An offensive line that wasn't great last year, but it wasn't bad. Just wasn't good. Wasn't bad. But you bring back 4 of the 5 starters.
Well, another year, if you're not great, does it make you great? I don't know.
I'd like to think experience makes you better. I'm 40. I'd like to think experience makes you better.
You're not 40 right? yet. You're
Jake Brenningstuhl at tight end is going to be in consideration for every award a tight end can win.
And he should
be. That dude's a stud.
He should be. It was a standout year for him last year. Really, really good. That should be one of your prime targets. And he was, especially near the end of the year.
So, again, it all kind of hangs on Cade Klubnik. I'm going to be generous. And I'm going to say that NC State coming to Clemson that day, I'm going to say NC State coming to Clemson goes Clemson's way at the house. They follow that up with a game against Stanford. Stanford's not going to be good this year. That's a win. We've got one loss on the books. October 5th, they go to Florida State. That game's in Tallahassee this year. I'm going to give that one to Florida State. I talked to Kelly Ford on BetMGM Tonight the other day. He said about a 60% chance Florida State wins that game. For a roadie down to a team that is the reigning, defending, undisputed ACC champions, I don't know, like, that's about as good as you can ask for. A 60%, that is, it's not a coin flip, but it's about as close as you'd like to think it'd be for Clemson. I'll say that's an L for the sake of making this interesting. Then they're at Wake Forest. Should be a win. Virginia. Should be a win. Virginia's in a bit of turmoil right now. There's another game on the schedule that concerns me just a little bit. And that game's Louisville.
You get worse every time. You know people are like eating their breakfast right now, right?
I mean, the folks at Louisville want me to say it that way. The Cardinal are interesting. The Cardinal interesting because they were ahead of schedule last year. They were 10-4 last year. They were 7-1 in the conference last year. They bring over
Wait. You mean they were better than Clemson last year?
I mean, yeah. They didn't play Clemson last year, but they did go 7-1 in the conference. They lost at Pitt. They did end with 3 L's, one of those being a 10-point defeat at the hands of the Florida State Seminoles in the ACC final. They also got smoked by USC in their bowl game, in the Holiday Bowl. But it's a good Louisville team. They bring over Texas Tech quarterback Tyler Shough. Strong arm. ability to throw down the field, which was something that they didn't really have last year. Chris Bell at wide receiver, very physical wide receiver. Ja'Cory Brooks, their starting speed wide receiver, is going to be a downfield threat. Last year, Jeff Brohm had this team running the ball exceptionally well. They're going to be able to throw it this year. We do not know what Clemson would have done against Louisville last year. They didn't play. This is a losable game. Now, again, the good news, this game's in Death Valley. This game's at Memorial. That's big because this is a game that if I think it's at Louisville, I actually could pick Louisville to win this game. I think Louisville can win this game. I'll give it to Clemson. So we're sitting on two losses so far. You roll the eyes. You disagree? Picking Louisville?
I am.
Okay.
I definitely am. And until we see on the field, this really comes down to quarterback, and I still don't trust Kay Klubnik.
Next week, on the road at Virginia Tech. Now, I think Clemson wins this game, just so we're clear. But maybe even more so than the Louisville game, this game scares me. And this game scares me a little bit because Virginia Tech, their fans, with Coach Pry coming down, Brent Pry has the Louisville fans, or excuse me, the Tech fans, the Hokie fans, has them believing. Our guy Jersey Joe just dropped into the chat. So let's go Hokies, 19 of 22 starters back. And that's accurate. That's accurate. I'm a big preseason magazine guy. I'm looking at Athlon's right now, right? And Athlon puts out the roster, and they put returning starters in bold. I don't know if you can see it. There's a lot of bold on that roster.
Yeah, I mean,
all right?
I can't read the names, but I can see that it's bold.
On the offense, all but two starters returned from last year. On the defense, all but three starters returned from last year. This is a team last year that went 7-6. It is a team that lost to Purdue by a tutty. They lost at Rutgers. They lost at Purdue, Rutgers. I mean, it's a team that did not get what they wanted last year. But let's also not point out, they were kind of in the transition year last year that Virginia is to me this year. They bring in and have, I think, four star recruits that will be providing depth this year. Guys that Brent Pry talked into coming there. The question mark for me, and the reason I will kind of throw this game up in the air, is I wonder at the point that these two teams get together, I wonder if that stadium is going to be rocking the way that Virginia Tech is known to do. The Hokies are a tough roadie, even when they're not good. That's a tough roadie. They are looking at, with the Clemson game coming down the pipe, at Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Stanford, Miami, Rutgers, Old Dominion, Marshall, and Vanderbilt to open the year. In reverse order. They open at Vandy. Vandy, they can win. Marshall, they can win. Old Dominion, they can win. Rutgers, they lost to last year, but they can win that game. At Miami, they cannot win. At Stanford, they can. Boston College, they can win. Georgia Tech, they can win. At Syracuse. This team could be a one-loss team. This team could be a four-loss team by the time they play Clemson at the house. If Virginia Tech is, and again, I don't think they will be, if Virginia Tech comes into that game with one loss, maybe two, Blacksburg, Virginia is going to be stupid tough to play in. Like, obnoxious. That'll be a game where Clemson's got to go put 14 up in the first quarter to quiet the crowd down. This is a very dangerous game for Clemson. The good news is, again, not necessarily a trap game because you're at Pitt the next week. So if you're at Pitt the next week, you're not dialed in. I'll say right now, if this Virginia Tech game preceded Florida State or preceded Miami, I'd probably pick Virginia Tech. I'll assume Clemson's going to be dialed in for this one. So we're still at two losses. At Pitt, back home for the Citadel, and then back home for South Carolina. With all due respect to the Gamecocks, I like Clemson in that game. It's early. We'll see what happens between here and there. A lot of football, but I like Clemson at the house over the Gamecocks. That's two losses. That's a 10-2 season, and as far as I am concerned, that's an ACC title game appearance for Clemson. I don't see who gets there because I do not trust Miami, and there's one spot left, which I think goes to Florida State. I think those two teams are playing twice this year. I can't find a third loss. Now, as we have pointed out,
you were worried about App State and said that Dabo was worried about it. And the thing is with South Carolina, we don't know what we're going to get. I mean, all reports is the new quarterback looks pretty good. The Sellers looks really, really good.
So, yeah, sure. I mean, and Nick Harbor on the college football 25 game, Nick Harbor is one of like a handful of 99 rated players around the league. He's a cheat code in the game. He's Madden 2007 Michael Vick in the game. And that's all well and good. I got questions about offensive line. I got questions about coaching. I don't think it's unfair to say. I got a lot of questions about the team. Clemson's a better team right now than South Carolina. That's not a hot take. They just are. Doesn't mean they will win. I'm saying right now, with 18 days until we kick off week one, I like Clemson. That's a 10-2 season. I think an ACC title game is the expectation for that team.
And I also think that a Georgia beatdown could ruin them mentally for the rest of the year.
Honestly, I think that's fair. That's why I've said that App State game makes me nervous. Not because App State's as good as Clemson. They're not. Not because App State should in any way compete. They should not. But if Georgia comes out there and beats them by 27 points, is there a chance there's like a, oh God, here we go again in that locker room?
Yeah, I would be thinking that more if Clemson came out and beat Georgia. I'd be thinking, oh God, here we go again. They're back, because that mentality like that would be back there, and they'll be like, we're back where we are, and then look out ACC. So
I don't think that's unfair. I think the best thing in the world that happens for Clemson, win, lose, or draw, is that game to stay tight. That just be competitive.
Well, no, the best thing is for them to win. Well, but yeah. We'll see.
We'll also see what Lonzo talks about in this Sports Flash. Not my best work. Here we are.
It's all right. I'll make up for it with my grandeur. The Atlanta Braves have begun a backslide, getting hammered by Milwaukee 10-0 at home. Bryce Elder was knocked around for 8 hits and 7 earned runs in just 3.2 innings, while Atlanta surrendered 16 total hits in the game. The Braves' offense mustered just 6 hits overall. Atlanta is 60-52, now just 6.5 games back of Philly. The U.S. women's soccer team took extra time to move past Germany 1-0 in the semifinals yesterday. Not saying no. Locking down their spot in the gold medal match, Sophia Smith knocked down the Americans' 11th goal of the tournament to secure the win. Hey, make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, of course, a whole lot of fun. And I don't know if you knew this, but it is definitely Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.